Now, in times of war, there have been many daring missions by our forces against the enemies of our nation. And in such situations, our soldiers have shown great gallantry and courage and bravery. There have also been the sacrifice of life. My men have jeopardized their own lives so that the lives of others might be protected and might be saved. Yes, soldiers have shed their own blood so that we can enjoy freedom and liberty today in our land and in our nation. Now, the courageous missions of our armed forces in times of war, it reminds us of a much greater mission, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the chief work, or if you like, the chief mission on earth of the Lord Jesus Christ, what was it? It was to save his people from their sins. The angel spoke to Joseph about the coming of Christ, and he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And we read of that vital work of Christ in the words of our text tonight, in verse 28, where it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." In this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and it comes at the end of his address to quell pride that had broken out among the disciples. You see, in verse 21 of this chapter, the mother of James and John, she expressed a desire that her two sons would have a preeminent position in God's heaven. And that desire, it led to jealousy and discord and anger amongst the other 10 disciples. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he settles this dispute by telling the disciples that the one who is really great in God's sight is the one who serves. Look at his counsel in verses 26 and 27. He says, "But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." That word minister means to serve. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And in dealing with this matter, he then goes on to give his own example, the example of his own life. And he gives that in verse 28, in the opening part of that verse, where he says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." In the opening part of that verse, he refers to himself as the perfect servant of God. And my, when you think of his service, the perfect service of Christ, that service is such that it invites our gratitude. It invites our confidence. And it also invites our imitation, our example to follow when we're saved by the grace of God. Then when we come to the latter part of this same verse, here he speaks of himself as Christ, the ransom. Yes, here he speaks of his approaching death. He is speaking here of his atoning death upon the cross that her sister was singing about earlier. And now the purpose of that death was that he would pay the ransom for the salvation of sinners. Tonight, friends, for a little while, it is this ransom that Christ paid in his sacrifice that I want us to consider. And as we would consider it, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I trust that God will open your heart, that you will see your need of this ransom, that you will come and trust the Lord as your Savior. Notice, first of all, with me, the ransom that Christ paid. In verse 28, he says there of himself, the Son of Man, he says, "He gave his life." And my, that speaks of the death. It speaks of the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, "And when they were come to that place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand and on the left." And my, on that cruel cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore reproach. He bore shame. He bore derision from the hands of ungodly and cruel men. And the Bible says how they mocked him, and they said, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." They pierced his hands, his feet with nails. They pierced his brow with a crown of thorns. His side was opened up by a Roman spear. Yes, cruel and ungodly men done their worst to Christ. But then we read also from the Word of God that on the cross of Calvary, God the Father, He poured out His wrath in full upon His Son. He poured upon His Son the wrath that all His people deserved. The Bible says He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And now it was on that dreadful cross of Calvary that the Lord Jesus Christ poured out His life unto death. Speaking of Christ hanging upon the cross of Calvary, the Bible says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. He gave Himself up unto death. Yes, He died an awful atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. Friends, if you ever visit the war graves of Western Europe, there you will find the exact places where our British soldiers fought and died in two world wars. Places like the Somme. Places like Ypres and the Normandy beaches and Dunkirk and so forth. Well, friends, I want to tell you tonight on the cross of Calvary, outside the city of Jerusalem, that is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and where He died. My, He came to this earth, the Son of Man, for this express purpose of dying upon the cross. My, the very object of the birth of Christ and the incarnation of Christ was that He would go to die upon the cross. My, we can say tonight that He went to the cross out of love for sinners, for the salvation of sinners like you and I. Thinking of that very sacrifice Himself, Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The hymn writer could say, oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. That was love that drew Christ to the cross. We can also say tonight that He went to the cross willingly. For the salvation of sinners like you and I. Yes, it was in love, but it was willing. He went as a willing sacrifice to the cross. He could say, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man take of it from me. It was a willing sacrifice. It was a loving sacrifice. Then we can also say that He went to the cross to satisfy God's justice for sinners like you and I. You see, God has decreed that the sinner must die for his sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Hence the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for our sins. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. And God also in His holiness and justice has decreed that an atonement or a covering for sin could only be made by one who was sinless. One who was without sin. Hence the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, died an atoning death for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. Turn in your Bible, please, over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. And to the verse number 14. And look at what the apostle says there about the sacrifice of Christ. Notice what he says about him. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 9. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, notice it, offered Himself, it says, without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly offered Himself without spot to God to die on the cross. To satisfy divine justice for sinners like you and I in this gathering tonight. Yes, we see the ransom that Christ has paid. But secondly, tonight, as we look a little further at our text in Matthew's Gospel 20, in the verse 28, I want you to see the liberty that has been purchased by Christ's ransom. Our text speaks of Christ, and it says there at the end of verse 28 that He came to give, it says, His life a ransom for many. You think of that word ransom there. That word really means a price paid for the redemption of those who are captives. In times of war, whenever prisoners were taken captive by the enemy, the money that was demanded for their release was known as a ransom. So a ransom is the means by which captives are set free. It's the means by which they are set at liberty. And thus the teaching here of the verse is that by His own death, what did Jesus Christ do? He paid the ransom to God. And why, He purchased a glorious liberty for sinners like you and I in this gathering this evening. And dear friend in the meeting tonight, let me say this. You and I need this liberty. We need this liberty that has been purchased for us by the ransom of Christ. Why? Because in our natural state, you and I were born into this world captives to sin. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. That means in our state of nature, we're held captive to sin and to the devil. In our natural state, sin controls our every thought, our every word, our every deed. Also, in our natural state, we are under the curse of our sin. The Bible says, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Because of our sinful nature, we are unable to please God. We are unable to keep the law of God perfectly in and of ourselves. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And because of this curse of sin upon us, in our natural state, we are separated from God, the Bible says. At enmity with God. Afar off from God. The Bible says we are without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. Yes, we need this liberty because we are captives to sin. We need this liberty because we are under the curse of our sin. But also in our natural state as sinners, we are condemned already to eternal judgment in hell. We're under the condemnation of our sin. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. My dear friend, because of your sin by nature and practice and your natural state, the Bible says, you're condemned already. You and I were born into this world condemned already because of our sin. And because of our sin, not only are we condemned already, but we're bound for eternal judgment in hell, the place of eternal torments and woe for our sin. What a sorry state you and I are in because of our sin. We are captives to sin. We are under the curse of sin. We are under the condemnation of our sin by nature. Praise God, tonight we can say the good news of the gospel is this, that Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, has come. And by His own blood He has paid the ransom price to deliver us from the captivity of sin. To deliver us from the curse of our sin. To deliver us from the very condemnation of our sin. He has come to set the prisoner free. The hymn writer John Wesley spoke of Christ and he said He breaks the power of canceled sin and He sets the prisoner free. Such is the power of the ransom paid by Christ. Turning your Bible over to Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and the verse. Chapter 4. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He came to die on the cross to set the captive free. He came and he shed his blood so that sinners like you and I might be delivered and set free from the condemnation of our sin, from the curse of our sin, and my, from the whole ruin of sin upon us. He came to set the prisoner free. Oh yes, we see the liberty that has been purchased by Christ's ransom. We see the ransom that he paid, but notice one final thing just from our text tonight. Notice the people who benefit from Christ's ransom. Who are they? Well, look at what Christ says again in our text. He says, the Son of Man has come. He says, to give his life a ransom for many. Notice the mention there of the many. Who are the many? By the many there are all those who repent of their sin, and all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as their own and personal Savior. You think tonight of the disciples, with the exception of Judas Iscariot. You think of Peter and James and John and all the rest of the apostles. They were such. They were among the many. You go down to verse 30 of our Bible reading tonight. There you read of two blind beggars. And they were such. Because they cried out to Jesus, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. They were among the many. They repented of their sin and trusted the Lord as their Savior. Friend, let me ask you the question tonight. What about you in this meeting tonight? No matter who you are, no matter what your sin is, what your background is, if you repent of your sin, if you turn to Christ and you trust Christ as your Savior, then you too shall be saved through the ransom of the blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. You turn in your Bible, please, over to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, to the Acts and to the chapter number 2. I want you to see what Peter says there in the verse number 21 of the chapter, in the latter part of that verse. Notice the great words here of the Apostle Peter. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It shall come to pass. It is sure and it is certain. Oh, dear friend, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sin, trusting in his blood alone for your salvation, then I tell you this, the captivity of your sin will be broken. The fetters of sin will be broken in your life. Christ says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Lord will break the fetters of sin that bind. The Lord will give you grace to live the Christian life, to live for his honor and glory. Why, when you trust Christ as Savior and his precious blood for your salvation, then the curse of your sin will be removed. My, you'll be no longer afar off from God. You'll be made nigh to God. You'll be brought into his family, into his kingdom. You'll have a right to all the blessings of the kingdom of God. In Galatians chapter 4 and the verse 7. Paul is speaking of those there who have trusted Christ, and he says, wherefore, thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. My, when you trust Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sin, and are cleansed by the blood of Christ, then also the condemnation of your sin will be removed. You will be saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. You will be made sure of heaven. You will have peace with God. You will have life eternal, a hope beyond the grave. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. My, when you die in Christ, your soul will go immediately into God's heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in great glory, your body will rise from the dead and be taken into glory, reunited with your soul. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Friend, in closing tonight, let me ask you the question, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Redeemer? Can you say of Christ, He is my Redeemer? Can you say of Christ with Job of old, I know that my Redeemer liveth? Are you trusting in Christ tonight? Are you trusting in His ransom? The price that He paid, the blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary for the salvation of your soul, the pardon of your sin, and for a right relationship with God so that you might know Him as your Heavenly Father. Friend, please realize tonight that apart from Christ, apart from Him crucified, there is no one else or there is nothing else that can save you. There's nothing else that can make you right with God or fit you for heaven. Oh, let me ask you tonight in closing, are you one of the many? Have you repented of your sin? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? As we think tonight in this Remembrance Night service of the sacrifice of the armed forces in our nation in days gone by, through that sacrifice you and I have freedom and liberty today. But friend, it is by trusting in the sacrifice of Christ, in the ransom of Christ, that once for all sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, that you can be saved from the awful ruin and tyranny of your sin, that you can know peace with God, that you can be brought into God's family and God's fold. Is it your desire tonight to know that peace, to be sure of God's heaven? Then I urge you this night as a sinner to come to Christ. Christ says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Praise God, He will take you in. He will save your soul. He will fit you for heaven. He will give you life abundant, life eternal. Praise God, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Yes, the Son of Man has come to give His life a ransom for the many. Oh, that you would trust in that ransom tonight. Know your sins forgiven, your soul saved eternally, that you would be fitted for heaven and fitted for home.